everybody. Good afternoon. You know what? I'm in California, and it's a lot brighter than it is up in Washington State. Well, maybe not today, but many, many days of the week. Up there is such wonderful, cloudy, changeable weather, but here it's bright, bright, bright. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm so happy to be talking to you on this show called Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is all about you learning to raise your fields and frequency, because as our frequency is, so goes our life. And isn't it exciting? So today's show, as a lot of you saw, is on transitions. Part of it is that I'm here to help the passing of a very dear friend. It's been coming for a while. And as a lot of us know, we've heard for a long time that in the huge economic changes, in the amazing breakdowns of the certain kinds of structures that we counted on for, say, security or social patterning or what, the economic world is breaking down, the corporate structure is changing, expectations are changing, styles of education, we got the internet. Pick a system, any system, and as they're coming apart, and they really are, and many of us have heard for many, many years that they were going to come apart, as they come apart, it's pretty interesting how many people are choosing to transit. I'll talk to a friend and she'll say, well, I have five different people transiting at this time. And sometimes they're people between 40 and 60, or quite often they are. You know, they can be seniors as well, but a lot of times it's people who are choosing to go through, perhaps to carry on their mission from the other side, or some are just getting out of it or whatever. But there's an old book called Right Use of Will. I can't even remember who wrote it, but a lot of us read it many years ago. And he was very big on saying, you know, around the turn of the millennium, a lot of people were going to choose to transit because the changes would be too tremendous. Even when you think about, say, radiant energy machines or intentionally driven machines that will help us get beyond, say, the system of oil, which has created, what, wars and huge economic blobs and this and that. And it's like the oil wells are metaphors for where the pockets of wealth go in the world. And I'm not going to get really far into that kind of thinking. But it's so interesting. If we can do free energy, what kind of changes are we going to ring out on our planet at this time? What kind of empowerment? It's like energy healing, subtle energy healing as well. There's a lot of different ways of using subtle energy, from the ancient acupuncture, which has been updated to meet the standards of today or the new conditions of today, but all kinds of subtle energy that you can work with people that help you get through situations without having too much medical coverage or the high technological costs. It's really fascinating. I don't know how many stories I've heard lately about people who found some kind of very simple $6 solution for a dreadful cough in Switzerland when they had just been given a very toxic, high-tech medicine in America for a $16 copay, which did nothing in a period of a week. But some medicine that they had over there that's not under the, you know, the rules of our I would say our drug economic structure is something that works really fast and is really cheap. So there's a lot of huge, huge, huge changes going on in our awareness, in our self-empowerment over the way systems used to be on this planet. Many of the systems have kept us sort of tied into a socioeconomic strata. That means that you're the kind of person that will never make a lot of money. We could say that that's a product of our thinking. It can also be a product of our social programming, which in turn creates a lot of our thought processes and so on. So people are kind of running along in little channels of potential instead of having the amazing potential, which we are. What a long preamble. Basically, the long and the short of it is we are infinite beings and working with your own personal energy fields, which are created by genetics, lineage, your thoughts and feelings, your reactions, the associations that you have on the planet, and the way you run your life and your household. All of those things can be worked with and changed in order to help you transit from one way of being to another. And some of those transitions are really, really little, like, for example, I talked about subtle energy, learning a bit about subtle energy in order to deal with a cold or something. This is quite a major transition. Or thinking out of the box, like, I really don't have to be this kind of person. I'll do my chanting and my breathing and my affirmations, and I'll become more confident, or I'll become more self-empowered or self-driven and so on. There's all these different things going on. And then again, many people are transiting and they say that, well, I guess Eckhart Tolle, I was listening to an Eckhart Tolle CD set the other night in the middle of the night, and it's really nice. It's 2004. It was his gift to a group of people in Findhorn. And what he said was just a beautiful cupful of golden wisdom, which was, we are members of a transitional generation, and that every aspect of our world and our life is going to transit in our lifetimes. That means things are, remember the Barbara Hand Clow and C.J. Kallman talking about the tremendous speed-ups, and if I was up to date on my Mayan information, I could tell you the exact numbers, but each one of the segments of change are escalating time and our ability to free ourselves from ancient programs at a rate that's like 100 times, 200 times. What I remember is right now, between now and 2012, we're going to have shifted at least 20 times in terms of what our basic energy is. So it seems like I'm running all over the place, but what I'm saying is these are times in which we as transitional people, as people who are going through a time of huge, huge breakdown of systems in our social structure, have to learn, or it would help us a great deal to learn to release blocks, that is, things like old patterns, quickly through breathing, through sounding, through consciousness, through a number of these wonderful metaphysical tools, all of which are very soothing. The soothing stops the resistance, doesn't it? And allows you, the spiraling lights deep within you, to move up through what could have kept you curtailed or kept you trapped by the way the previous generations lived. You don't have to do that. Some people transit officially, physically, and some people transit and die and begin a whole new cycle for their soul's journey. And some people here on the planet learn to change and change and change and change in order to meet not only the standards of these changing social structures, but to meet the deep inner drives of your potential and mine too. And a lot of that can be talked about and be measured energetically, subtly, energetically. There are those people who are learning how to measure. I used to say years ago, well, can't we just measure this stuff? And nobody could, but I believe that that's happening, and I'll do some more research on that. Anyway, this is a call-in show, and I'm really hoping that you'll call in and talk about what's going on in your life and what kind of transitions are going on in your life. First, I want to do our sacred geometric meditation, which I love so much. I'd like you to close your eyes, unless you're driving, and I'd like you to join me in calling forth, let's jump out into the galaxies again. Let's take a minute, imagine going way out into a galactic center that you feel comfortable about. Deep down in your psyche, you know what it is. And from there, I want you to draw energy through a very powerful crystalline tube right down through the top of your head, down your spine, and into the core of the earth. And it's through that tube that you're drawing energy from different dimensions. And now above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden, golden ball. Design and build a golden ball made of many, many of the gold. The fabric is many of the gold elements and platinum and plutonium and because I always see this ball as very, very, very radiant, and it's got, mine always has slightly different colors of gold in it. And below your spine, about 40 feet, the same thing. And now drop a radiant beam of light, a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your crystalline tube and through your spine right into the lower golden ball. And quite often you can feel that. Now from the upper golden ball to your waist height, perhaps 20 feet away from your body, drop a four-sided pyramid. And the sides of the pyramid, everything is gold, so there's gold lines and they're just radiant and resonant. Four-sided pyramid pointing up and a four-sided pyramid pointing down and touching the golden ball that's about 40 feet below your spine. So now you're in an octahedron. Can you feel the energies of that octahedron around your body? And inside of that, you'll remember that you're in a crystal ball. Create a crystal ball, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your octahedron. What does that feel like? And inside of that, let's do the star tetrahedron today. You're in a star tetrahedron, which is like a Star of David, but it's three-dimensional. And now I want you to spin and spin and spin. Just spin like mad. Whenever I do, I can get really dizzy. Feel the frequencies in your body. What's happening? And whilst you're spinning, see in front of you a magical screen. And on that screen, I want you to place little movies of what you desire to create in your world. Now remember, we're talking today about transitions, so you can do anything you want with your movies because it's your world. But if you can, if you'd like to, do some transitional movies as well. So first, I like to see myself becoming more and more multidimensional. That's really able to resonate with so many dimensions simultaneously, or be able to move myself from dimension to dimension at will. You can call it out of body or so on. You might have another kind of desire for yourself, and that's fine too. Now the next one is maybe there's a project you want to create. I have a few myself. And you see yourself doing that project successfully. Perhaps the world is receiving it. Perhaps it's something like a relationship or maybe a piece of art or a movie or a business or a family or a house. Or planetary travel. Good. Now see yourself creating that, experiencing it, and feel how successful that is. I love it. Good. And now we're going to call in the Galactic Healing Center. We're going to ask to feel, see, and know, and have them join us. Our healing team, I don't know what yours looks like, and it'll probably always be different, but it might include your guides and angels. It may include amazing blobs of energy that are just radiant and move all around. It may include nothing, just sounds or space. It's up to you and your vision and your higher self. So let's create our galactic healing team and have them gather around the healing table. And put someone on the table that you know is dealing with transitions of sorts. Because really, illnesses are transitions, aren't they? Or job losses, or having children, or having a bad hairdo. Every level, see, it doesn't matter which level you're on. A lot of life is measured by what we're releasing and what we're creating and whether we're afraid. It's all about little deaths, isn't it? And little births. So let's put someone on the table that you're concerned about. Good. And ask for healing and see what you see or experience. What's going on in your healing room? Excellent, excellent. I see some really odd-looking characters. They think we're odd-looking, too, so that's okay. They seem to be specialists in carrying, or at least several of them, carrying these little vacuum-like apparatuses to pull things out of people. And my guides always say that healing is so much about releasing. Release, release, release. So they come in with their little vacuums and they really pull old frequencies or old programs out of people. And there are others who are raising the fields and frequency over the body. There's so many ways of doing that, including with flower essences and with your hands and your intention. So just continue. And now wrap that person and that situation in light, and we'll move to the next scenario. I want you yourself to be lying on the bed. And let's ask to see and feel, and sometimes this is the wonderful part, just ask to see, if you don't know where you want to have something done or worked on in you, ask to see what is the greatest healing or transitional release you could have right now. And ask for help with that. Yeah, I had something for myself. It was like an urgency to do things, a drive. I need to reduce that, neutralize it, and then trust that there's a greater wisdom flowing through and a greater wisdom that's coming from my journey as well as from spirit. That's not to give up the wheel entirely, but it is to give up some of the control, isn't it? And why I laughed is because I saw myself sitting up and laughing and releasing all of these control issues and letting myself be enjoy the flow of energy through my body-mind. Now let's do one more, bring in someone else that you really are concerned about. As I mentioned, I have a friend who's transited last night at 11:15, a very dear friend. And what I'd like to do is ask my healing team to make sure she's going very far and releasing all she needs to release so that she can be free, free to be enveloped by the love that's there and create the visions that she has in her heart. And I don't know what you see, but what I see are these unfolding, multi-spectrum, they're kind of like wafting lights. They're very beautiful. And now let's come back in, and then we'll leave the healing room. Thank our healing team. We'll leave the healing room for now. And then I'd like you to do a political one. What's a scenario that you would really like to see politically? Talk about transitions. The latest administration is really having to drive the engine of this country or even the global position of the star country, if you will. It's going to have to drive it through a pretty big mess, isn't it? Yeah. So let's see. What would you like to see happen? What would you like to support? Where would you like to put wind under the wings? Where would you like to see less resistance? You know, a lot of life is about resistance, isn't it? That's where we have the greatest damage. So instead of resistance, about helping other people with all the economic foibles and so on, what could we see that would really be of great benefit to all of us? That's something to bear in mind. So just see what you'd like to see and feel the love and the shared advantage and shared intentions. Let's focus and move it through. And wrap your scenario in light. And I will complete this by going into your heart and seeing a very bright pink ribbon moving from the heart out into the various trouble spots in the world. And have the pink light dance through the pentagon and throughout all these different power places with the new government, the new administration. And have the pink light go to of course, Iraq and Afghanistan. And then have it surge round and round and round our planet, round and round the planet, lifting the consciousness, lifting the hearts, lifting the frequency, and seeing that harmony is not only possible, but it's likely. Bring it back around the world and into your own heart. And here we all are. Everything's a transition, just even moving from one minute to the next. Nothing stays the same. It's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? So how are you doing out there? What's going on in your world? I think what we're going to do in a little while is learn some breathing and some sounds to talk about different ways of handling transitions. Hang on 1 minute. I'm just going to get the phone numbers, and hopefully you'll call in. I don't have Bob sitting beside me, my trusty helper. So, if you're in the U.S., call in 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, call at 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. And the direct line, if you're calling from anywhere else in the world or maybe out in the universe, 530-8763-222, 530-8763-222. I really love you to call in and tell me how you're dealing with, for example, the shifting economic times, the shifting job base, the kind of expectations we used to have that we don't have anymore. You get a good degree, good marriage, man, your life is set. That's not going to work. Marriages broke down. The family came apart. Education systems are really funny. But there's a huge evolution coming up, and in that evolution, there's more empowerment of the real person. It's really incumbent upon us to find out who we truly are and how we can bring that forward into the world. And when we do, when you're really who you are, it's amazing how much more light you bring forward and how much more your products really work. I think that most of I don't know if that sound was somebody calling through. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Lori. How are you?
Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Good. I love the topic that you were talking about, but I missed the talk and just heard the meditation.
Okay.
But I did receive the email about, you know, people leaving and what's going on, and it is, it's true, it's happening.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, and the other thing is that every time somebody, you hear about somebody new leaving,
mm-hmm.
or getting ready to leave or starting to leave, everybody freaks out, and it's like, oh my God, it's the worst thing that they're leaving. And then I think, you know, like, well, we don't really know that. I mean, it's like the consciousness of not understanding what's on the other side. I mean, if life is this good and this beautiful and this amazing, how could the other side not be that good and that beautiful and that amazing or better than that?
I agree with you entirely, actually.
Anyway, the thing that I'm having difficulty with, and this is like a real concern, it's a consistent struggle,
mm-hmm.
is like I do so much work keeping myself in a positive, high place, walking through what's going on right now.
You bet.
And, you know, I'm doing pretty well with it. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm holding in at a good 8.
Good.
Every time I get really solid in it, it's like something happens, like a call will come in from the universe, from a person or a business or something, and they'll be kind of screaming about that the sky is falling. And it just kind of affects me energetically. Like I feel like I'm in Star Wars, and I'm constantly trying to diffract negative energy.
You know what?
The only
thing
that's like keeping me together, it's like the beauty of nature. Even if I'm in a city, I'm looking at the sky, you know?
Right. I think it's really, what did I hear? I heard that we're going to have more and more You know this, Lori, it's a polarization thing, and there's more and more distractions coming from the astral as we rise and become more and more able to deal with that, actually.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just, I don't want to buy into it, you know? I don't want to buy into how bad it's going to be. Like, the best thing to do is just take it a day at a time.
Or even a minute at a time. But I think what's really interesting is if we're thinking that, if you know deep in your heart that the systems are breaking down.
Yes.
I mean, it's to me it helps. It's like, okay, that's part of it.
Right.
But the other thing I keep seeing, and I know you probably do too, and many of you at home, I keep seeing all these little lights of new things beginning all over the place as well. And in that, that's where we need to focus. So what you're talking about is like it's really important to get your focus clear and keep focusing on the new things that are coming up.
Yeah, and what's
good
about it?
Because everybody's going to tell you the nasty stuff, right?
I know, but and it doesn't stop.
No, it won't stop.
No, that's why, like, you know, I only can watch so much television and it's totally limited, you know. But, you know, I was just in New York City, which is the hub of the beginning of whatever. I was there all day yesterday, and, you know, it was like a ghost town.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Fifth Avenue was completely empty. I went into every major store just walking around, and everything was on sale, like 80% off. Okay, that's great. I didn't feel like buying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't feel like it's about that. But the stores were completely empty. I mean, you could get in a taxi and go flying down the road. It would be like if L.A. freeway was empty.
And you know what? It's really fun. That's pretty interesting, actually. It's really funny that for a while people were in kind of like a shopping frenzy for years. And it was all about the designer stuff, and you had to have this and that. And then you would be okay as a person.
Right.
Well, that just can't work anymore, can it?
Nope. And they don't know what to do with themselves, so they're probably just staying home. Which, you know, I don't know where they are. I mean, I don't know where they all are, but they're not there.
Maybe they're staying home and chanting.
I pray. I pray they're staying home and reading beautiful literature and doing other things.
I really find it's a very, very interesting time, and you're absolutely right when you say it's just not going to stop. And it's not going to stop because it's going to speed up that way. We're coming kind of like coming apart as a species in terms of our social structure.
Right.
So it's got to speed up, and we're going to get more flotsam and jetsam. But it's amazing how many people I know who are now saying they're kind of oddly centered. They're odd about it. They're going,
yeah, it's strange. It's like, yesterday, when I was in New York City and it was so, you know, empty,
mm-hmm.
there was like this part of me that was like a total peace. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like all these years, you'd wish you could walk down the street and not get knocked over and just walk in a store or get, you know, travel quickly. And it was like peaceful and quiet and like you could walk.
Isn't that amazing?
And it was like, wow, this is how old New York used to be, like 25 years ago. And it was like, it was dichotomous in the sense that it was enjoyably peaceful, but eerie in the sense that it shifted so quickly.
And I think it's pretty exciting because it's going to shift quickly again. And what do you see? Let's just play with this. What do you see from that?
I just see us really going back to the roots of nature and how we were meant to be on this planet and living and caring for each other communally and our values just being totally higher and evolved.
And I believe this, that who we really are mm-hmm. is going to be kind of the foundational centering piece. You could probably spell that as E-A-C-E as well as P-I-E-C-E, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So thank you for
But
your
I think there are a lot of people that aren't going to be able to adjust to that. They're just not flexible enough to get with the program, with the
Well, I'm hoping more people will call in who are adjusting and find out what techniques they're using. I have a few of my own, and I'm sure you do too. But,
oh, yeah. And one last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, as everything starts to break down, I think, like, last week you were talking about the best investments being gold and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best investments and the new gold of the new age is going to be real estate, and it's the kind of real estate with dirt under it.
Hmm. You mean like farms or ranches?
Just anything that you could buy that's on dirt. I'm not talking about co-ops and apartment units, like with land so that you have earth. And,
well,
like,
you know,
in case of emergency, if you have to grow your own food, you're just going to grow it. You have to open your doors and let people hang out in your living room till they figure out what to do. You're going to do that.
I agree with you, because I feel another thing about this living on the dirt thing is that we're going to be living in a whole different style where there's going to be quite a bit more community consciousness.
Right.
And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I feel it in my bones that there's going to be some way in which we're going to combine forces and share resources in order to live together.
Right. And there's going to be huge amounts of love.
Yeah. And that preciousness of life without all those weird identities is really going to grow. It
and
is
like multiple miracles just everywhere you go. They're just going to be exploding miracles.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, me too. Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. Lori's going to talk about her book just for 1 minute. Lori, tell them about your book.
Oh, I wrote a book called Abracadabra, Create As You Speak. It's available on Amazon, and it's a book about creating the platform in your life where miracles are just your natural everyday existence, and you just manifest them. And manifest them for yourself and for others and for the world. And it's really a great book.
Excellent. Amazon.com is Lori Barbaria for anybody who wants to write that down.
Thank you, Veronica. Love you so much.
Oh, well, bless your heart, my dear, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
and being
I feel
magical.
Good now.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. And I believe it's true, as Lori said, is there's going to be miracle after miracle after miracle. And I think that's what we have to hold on to, because if you're going to define your success according to sticking to a system that's breaking down, it's going to be a little bit difficult. It's like going down in the Titanic, and success is holding on to a board. We have to instead learn to swim and learn to create different lifestyles, don't we? Not everybody right away. Some of us already are pretty detached from the system. But we'll see. This whole thing about growing things and learning about our own healing, this got going away from a dependency that's kept us kind of, I always say enslaved, and going into a self-designed empowerment and mutually helping one another, finding out what your value structure is. So call in and tell us how you're dealing with it all. How's it going with you? I want to say also that my friend who just passed, she's a wonderful soul. She always was a people connector in such an amazing way. I used to call her a pollinator. Bless her heart, and I'm going to miss her terribly. But I'm happy for her in a way, because she had another very new friend who was participating in this, whose name is Carmela. Talks about how you have your dings from childhood, and in those dings, we have ways of defending ourselves and not really being safe and strong, so we might be defensive. So you might be the kind of person that really longs for friendship, but you hold it aside, and that's because you have a ding. I'm really glad we have a caller, so I'll finish the ding story after we've talked to you. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Casey. I was calling. I love the meditation that we kind of went through, and I loved what you were talking about. It was my first time hearing you. It's wonderful.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to the show. I love that. You had the courage to call in. Good for you, girl.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I love it. Everything you're doing is so great. It's wonderful. It's inspiring. I totally agree with what you and Lori were saying. And I'm noticing, I'm actually a counselor, and I work about 8 to 12 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
And, yeah, I work on Saturdays and Sundays about 2 to 4 hours each day. And I really loved it. I probably should take breaks, but it balances me.
Yeah, I know.
It balances me in a, you know, like in a profound way where you feel tired sometimes, but that's because you need to let go, you know, and release energy and just take time for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then it feels very powerful because sometimes we realize that the only thing that some people are stuck about is basically the things they don't know or they don't remember. And that is really what I'm noticing over and over. Like, even in my life, I'm handling, I just got through going through a 2-year divorce. I have a 2-year-old that I'm a single parent of, but I feel like I'm not raising her by myself.
Mm.
People pitch in and help you, and they just really want to embrace whatever it takes to make it easier on people. And I think that, you know, it would be so easy to focus on the negativity, but it's really there that it seems people are coming back together because money's not the number one focus.
Thank heaven. And I love what you said about counseling, because I do a lot of counseling work myself. And I sort of chuckle now and then. I go, what a selfish job, because, you know, I don't mean that really. I mean, that's kind of a caricature of what I mean. But it's like every time I'm working with somebody, it's like there's a flow of energy that goes from one to the other, one to the other. And I can be tired at the beginning and be absolutely flying by the end.
Yes.
It's a cycle, isn't it?
That's exactly what, you know what, that is what I noticed actually this week was, wow, you can be tired at the beginning of it because you're just kind of, you know, resistant to really, okay, what are they about to say? and you know, are they going to have victim energy? But then sometimes, you know, we have that human experience and we just kind of look at, well, I hope I can help this person and they're ready to be assisted. But you always know that it's going to help you in some way to hear what they say. And it's so true. The energy ends up being better when you get off. But people seem like they're being held more accountable for things, I've noticed.
And now, give us an example.
I'm noticing when I'm talking to people on a daily basis that they're constantly dealing with, they can't do what they used to do just because it's comfortable. If it's not really for their highest good, it's not working to the point where they can't even make excuses anymore like they used to.
Right. It's like, oh, darn, I don't want to do all this by myself. And you see a card or a message that says, self-reliance is the greatest tool in your evolution.
Yes, exactly.
I know, it's a really exciting time because we're learning to unhook ourselves from our little neuroses or big neuroses, aren't we?
Yes, and especially with relationships, too. Everyone keeps focusing on the high rate of divorce, but what I noticed is people are vibrating and magnetizing the people who are closer to their understanding, or at least they can get more accomplished with this person, and they're not looking at just a limiting belief of I've got to stick with them because we have children together or because we had this nest together. They do those things with joy, possibly, if they do stay together, but they're really looking at what makes them feel fulfilled in life so that they don't have scapegoats, and it makes me feel so good to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think you mentioned, I also mentioned about resistance, right?
Yes.
And so, and as we grow, it's either, like if you're in relationship for quite a while, and one of them's growing, starting to open and grow, and the other gets insecure and is resistant, then it's almost that's almost the death knell right there, isn't it? Of the entity called a relationship. Where you have to keep growing, you have to keep releasing resistances, and if someone can't or won't, it's almost impossible to maintain that relationship, so then relationships come apart. It's a pretty interesting time.
Yes, it is, and you know what, I know this is in particular because people assume you have a perfect life when you're a counselor or when you're doing this or that. Even with me, it was kind of weird that I had so many more, but then I understood it wasn't weird because I was kind of attracting some similar stuff. People who were going through relationship issues when I was going through my divorce, and the situation you just brought up about resistance occurred, that was exactly what occurred in mine. But the thing is we knew we had a child together, so we decided we could still be friends.
That's excellent.
Yeah, because we were friends before. We knew each other our whole lives, but some people don't make great marriage partners, or they just came together and they learned something. And they really thought marriage was what they needed because we really had that old belief system that, well, you know, we're going to be around each other, so we got to get married. And it was, like, really enlightening to see we don't have to constantly live by other people's standards and some outdated stuff. it's just outdated. You know, it's not that you don't want to ever get married, but you really, we weren't even allowed to be in the same house together. We had to live together immediately, and it's just really great to see people thinking for themselves.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's also interesting, we were talking about in counseling, it's kind of like a cycle of energy that you shift in each other, so it goes round and round. And I'm reminded that in relationships these days, it's like relationships come together and bring up stuff in us.
Yes.
And then we're on our own to continue to process it or release it or transform it or not, right?
Yes.
So my dream is that the whole fabric of our society will eventually become a really affirmative and self-acknowledging, self-proclaiming, self-centering group of beings for the greater. I believe it'll be for the greater good.
Yeah, and you know, I don't watch much TV either, but did you hear when the one thing I remembered out of the whole thing, I kind of YouTubed it, and I went back and looked, they said, you know, I think it was Obama who had mentioned it, I think it was him, and he said, we're coming into a new age, and we've got to let other things go, and I was like, wow, I love that phrase.
And that's exactly true, and you can't, and we were talking about earlier, you can't hang on to what was because it ain't going to work.
Right. But it's great to see that. I think it's already starting to show. Everything you're dreaming about feels like it's starting to get that way. And I just moved from L.A. to L.A., California to Georgia, and not just like a major city, a really small town. And I really saw that I didn't have to worry as much as I thought I would, you know, kind of transitioning for the differences that kind of are stereotypical of those two places.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that people really could be supportive no matter what and where you live. It's just basically learning how to be tolerant of them,
mm-hmm.
and knowing how to give love no matter what. And I was so afraid to move because of that one reason, but I kept feeling like there's something for me to do in Georgia. And now I see why. I have 27 acres of wilderness and a pond that I can look at, and I can help more people and be at peace than amongst all the city feel, you know, and then be able to really let others see that different isn't always a negative, you know.
Well, so that you have dirt under your feet, Lori was talking about. Got to get where there's some dirt and grow some veggies, huh?
Yes.
Thank you. You've got a really lovely, inspiring way of approaching things. Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
You too. Thanks, Casey. Call again.
Take care. Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it, to everyone? And I hope we have other callers. We're having great callers today. Lots of good conversation. I want to say this, that, I started talking about my friend. I'll say two things. One is a meditational approach to going through changes. And another is my friend who had a really intense struggle in this life, talking about dings. She took on an awful lot of distortion. Like many of us take on a real challenging life in order to create a really great sort of a petri dish for our personal fulfillment and evolution, so we can rise out of the familial, as Jackie calls it, the familial chain of pain, and really become self-designing and self-empowering. And my friend took on some very, very difficult situations in her history, and she was really getting tired. And I can't help but feel that she's out of that now, and she's really released. But I also feel consciously that she, like many others, completed, really fulfilled a lot of her contracts before she left. And maybe that's enough. That's what life is for. That's one way that we can look at life. You're on the air. Welcome.
Veronica, hi. This is Deb in Montana.
Hi, Deb in Montana.
Hi.
How nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice. And bless you for what you've been up to for this last week. I have two things I'd like to ask. One is a question to the guides, and before that, though, kind of comments back to Lori, and they have to do with the thing about the dirt under our feet. I've spent almost 30 years working in the environmental world, which is also crashing apart right now.
Mm.
And one of the things I think that's important for us to do is not to look backward and think that we're going backward, because there are so many people on the planet right now that everybody can't have dirt beneath their feet. And so it's almost as if we need to, and this is the question for the guides, figure out some way to go forward in a natural, organic way. Do you know what I mean? That is completely and completely re-envisioning everything we've ever known. I mean, it literally is not possible for the planet to support everybody on it right now if we think about it rationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a romantic, a beautiful romantic idea to think we'll all just grow our own food, but it isn't going to happen. I mean, people will starve that way is what I'm trying to say. Everybody can't have their plot. So my question for the guides is, it's sort of twofold, is the other piece is you and Laurie were talking about, you know, abracadabra and imagining your way forward. So isn't there a sort of a beautiful paradox between what we hear about complete surrender, don't try to use your minds to get through this, just be in the moment, and then the other thing that we've been told, which is try to imagine what you want. But in imagining what we want, aren't we basically bossing the divine world around rather than opening ourselves to what the divine world wants us to do, which is to somehow create this new way so that nobody starves, and so we don't have to judge anybody as being too rigid? Or do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I just want to say a couple of things. I think you're saying a lot, and I think it's extremely valuable. But one of the components, and for everybody at home, I know Deb, and I know what an amazing integrity you have and deep loving value structure and so on, and I believe that is the reevaluation of who we are and on the empowerment that we can bring forward, which will lead to maybe some having the dirt under their feet and creating the nourishment for others. So the guides are saying this, that as the vision that they bring up as you say that is that there's an unfoldment in human consciousness where we're becoming aware, you know, we're vibrational vehicles of light first. Mm-hmm. And we're becoming aware as we use our envisioning, it is to lift our frequency, our expectations and intention to a much higher frequency level, which in turn touches others and also impacts the earth. You know that.
Right.
And so it's not really like demanding of spirit as much as it's us embodying divinity, if you will, and raising our fields and frequency, which is a very healing thing to do. And the other thing about the land, as soon as you were saying that, the guides were showing this amazing kind of like a chain gang of people who really love to grow things and people who don't but want to build things, people who, you know, getting in touch with your own empowerment and community consciousness, and means we don't all have to be living in a commune either, but just knowing that you're doing your part to cultivate the foods and the fuels, changing the economic structure.
Right.
You know, so that just a few get a whole bunch.
Right.
I believe that's going to change because of reevaluation as well.
Exactly. And I think part of what I was trying to get at was just that I live in the West, which still is a paradise, and where we still have the extraordinary blessing of living surrounded by hundreds of thousands of acres of wilderness. But the thing that occurs to me and to a lot of the other people that I work with here as we try to protect the land is that it's not just a matter of everybody getting a plot. So that's what I was saying about consciousness.
I like that. I like that you said that.
It's not that I don't believe in, you know, growing my own food. I've been growing my own food for a long, long time, but I don't feel like I'm better than everybody else because I'm doing it. I feel like, how can my consciousness shift in a way that I become not only a protector of the land, but of all the people in the cities who don't know how to do this.
Yeah, or don't have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, don't have a way out of the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that I wonder about. But then that's tied to the second question, which was, how do we stay out of the paradox in our where we get too far into our minds imagining what we want, which becomes the, you know, Eckhart Tolle would say, our ego kind of bossing around our divine core.
Right.
Do you see what I'm asking of the guides?
Yes, but the thing, the guides keep switching it around and going, you know, what's interesting is when you're envisioning, for example, if we're envisioning a harmonious solution for all people to be fed, right,
mm-hmm.
then we're raising our frequencies above the defensiveness, above greed. We're really passing on a much higher frequency level. It's not just about grabbing your vision and running with your wants, you see?
Right.
And so you could say, I would say, how they show it, I want to say, it's like you have to become aware of your ego, don't you?
Right.
And that's going to change our species. I feel like as we envision and we include others in the visioning, you know, I just really think it's The guides just keep showing it's a shift of the frequency that's going to change things. Now, my guides always say also that reality is going to split in a way, and there's going to be all these people living a rather harmonious life, and there's going to be the other world. And I just don't quite know how to logically take that in.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that if we're creating as much of our reality for the good of all and out of our heart and out of our personal empowerment, which I think is really relevant here too, everything around you changes and you start connecting with people differently, right?
Yeah, and the meditation that you laid at the beginning of the show is so powerful. I mean, it is so extraordinarily powerful, and I have learned from you these 20 years that I've known you and loved working with you that it's true that when we shift our own vibration, I want to continue to really believe this because I can feel it sometimes. We shift our vibration, and then everything around us starts to move. And so I guess maybe that's just a very simple answer, isn't it?
And the funny thing about this, and Bob says I mention this on every single Jackie Salvitti show, which I don't think is true, but it might be, is that if we're all sitting together in a room and we're all working with the reality we're trying to create, we are experiencing different realities, and I believe that could become even more different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't pretend to understand it.
Right, which is the point, isn't it? That there just isn't, really the way to make these shifts is not to try to understand them with the mind.
Yeah, that's right, is to get out of the way. Because I believe this, back to, what was it you were saying about what Eckhart Tolle said? If we're able to be in our center and keep, my guides always say, a lot of it is about release, 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 and then recreate the way you're thinking. And ego-wise, I think that recreates how our attachments and resistances work, and I really believe we get that flush of golden energy that runs through us and makes it much easier for us to be vibrational vehicles of light with potential for creation. Does that make
right.
sense?
And that's worth saying every single time.
I think so. I hope
yeah.
so.
It's the essence of it.
And it's so magical.
It is so magical.
What we call magic is stuff we can't really explain and understand, but it exists.
It does. And I feel like I should get off the phone in case there might be one more person that's trying to get to you.
I'm so pleased to hear your voice. Thank you for your call. It was a challenging, wonderful call.
I love you.
Love you too, Deb.
Take care.
Bye. Boy, oh boy, isn't it wonderful? We're talking to people from all over this country with brilliant ideas on how we're manifesting a much greater value system. I want to say about transitions, one of the things that works really well when we're up against it, we want to resist. Some of the changes that are coming are really scary for some of us, like, oh, I thought I had it made, my retirement or my this or that was made and set in stone and now it's not existing. And people get afraid. It's normal to get afraid. Stop at that point, call in the presence of your guides and angels. And one of the things, I was just reading some notes from a wonderful teacher that I've joined periodically, and his teachings is great. And he was telling us an old Indian, Hindi, I think, or maybe it's Tibetan, I can't remember, technique, which a lot of you have heard, and that's this deep belly breath and going, hoo, 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 hoo. And because remember, you're vibrational vehicles of light. And when you do something like that, you're literally shaking up the deep congestions in your body mind that has been programmed by either lineage or social context or all of the above, or maybe by the Pleiadians. You know, it doesn't matter how you look at it, does it? But we can break apart those patterns that seem to run through us over and over again. And when we're in a state of distress, go back into being self-centering and make a sound like that and always use your breath. Hoo, 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 hoo. It's hoo, H-U. So I don't know if we're going to have another caller. I think it's almost time to be finished this show. I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. I don't know what we're going to talk about. She and her wonderful team, I get to interview them, and they get to talk about amazingly huge breadth of evolutionary consciousness. And my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock today, this is very exciting, is Randy Masters. Randy Masters is quite, a unique wizard, a purveyor of resonance and changing sounds through ancient and modern techniques of sound healing. He's going to come in, and I don't know what on earth he's going to do today because he always surprises me, but I'd like him to do some, make some sounds. He does tuning forks. He has a number. I'm sitting in his house right now. He has a number of very beautiful sacred geometric forms. He's got a number of instruments and so on. So stay tuned, if you can, at 5 o'clock today for Randy Masters, who's always teaching about resonant living through music, through breathing, through intention, through sacred geometrics, through ancient wisdom, modern wisdom, multidimensional wisdom. Who knows? He's a real wizard. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I love it when you call me for a session or email me about the shows, about stuff you've heard and what you'd like to talk about, or even paradigm shifters that you want to hear on, or millions of things. Or if you want a session with me, it's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. That's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. I love it if you connect with me that way. Also, my next week paradigm shifter is Galexis, a really wonderful channeled coalescence of beings. So tune in at 5 o'clock next Tuesday for Galexis being channeled through Ginger Metro. I almost forgot her last name, but I know Ginger's a wonderful soul. So it's going to be a wonderful show, too. Thank you so much for listening. Much love to all of you. That's something we can all bring in from Spirit, the universe, run it through ourselves, clean out our pipes, and send it back on. Talk to you in a few minutes.